Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. God is good, and He is mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. It's good to know that you have someone that's in favor of you, that cares about your well-being, what happens to you, how far you go in life. The Lord our God is the ultimate parent. He's not just God to us. He's also like a parent to us, a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And the Lord is pulling for you. Somebody will say, well, why would the Lord be pulling for us if He is in full control? Well, guess what? God is not in full control, because people are able to make choices. As long as we're able to make choices, the Lord is not in control of our will. And anybody whose will the Lord controls, it's because that person has yielded to the Lord. They made themselves subject unto the Lord. It's just like being in the military. The sergeant may command the private and tell him what to do, but it's up to the private to obey him. A private can be disobedient, even though the sergeant is trying to help him and train him so that he can survive the worst of battle. It's the same way with us. The Lord, He knows what to do. He's assured of what we need to do, and He will not guide us wrong. And He will guide us to a better life. Psalm 23 says that he leads me beside still waters. God is for us, not against us. But if we don't trust Him, we won't follow Him. And if we don't follow Him, we can't live as good as He desires us to. So He's not in full control. He's not in full control of your destiny, what happens to you. People love to say that God is in control, but He's not in control of anybody's will. That's why He had to make hell to put the disobedient angels in it, because they will tear up everything. They will turn heaven into a ghetto if God didn't stop them. So it's important to trust the Lord your God. That's up to you, nobody else. And I thank the Lord for that. But the good thing is He's on our side and He's for us. He's pulling for us. And He sent people to minister the word. He called the most unusual people to be ministers, His spokesmen, so that people can miss out on hell and gain heaven and be blessed of Him. The Lord our God does everything in order, and we have to trust Him. And I thank the Lord for that. We're going to pick up where we left off. We're still dealing with those hard questions, and the hard question that we're still dealing with is, how about healing? Does God still heal today? To somebody that's sick or in pain or have a limited time to live, 3 or 4 months to live, they want to know, does God still heal? Is healing still for us today? And some preachers, they in the turn of the century, they used to preach that healing went out with the apostles. And a lot of preachers ignore healing. But God, I'm here to tell you, folks, God still heals. He healed my body. He's healed my children. I can go on and on about the people that I know of that have been healed by the Lord. And God loves you. But what has to happen, we have to trust the Lord with our faith. We have to have faith in His works. And the scripture we stand on is, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. In Isaiah 53:5. And I thank the Lord for that. But we're going to continue where we left off last week. I was reading about Kenneth Hagin's testimony. It's found in his book, I Believe in Visions. And I think you can go to rhema.org and go on their website and order that book from their library. Anyway, and it's called I Believe in Visions by Kenneth E. Hagin. And Brother Hagin is a blessing. I thank the Lord for him. And reading his testimony, it really blessed me when I first read it, because he was on a deathbed, given up to die. Even the preacher that he wanted to come and explain some things to him, he thought that he would die. But he found the scripture and stood on it. He found Mark 11:24, And he read those verses in Mark chapter 11. And he learned to use his faith, and he believed God and got off of his sick bed. You can do the same thing. But we're going to continue where we left off last week. There's a writing that the Lord gave me a few years ago called The Other Side of the World. And we're going to study it. And it reads, whenever my people consider the world, they usually focus upon what is obvious. They almost never notice the other side. The obvious side consists of known rebellion such as lust, anger, hatred, murder, and greed. Whatever is obviously wrong is considered worldly. The other side of the world is more subtle. It is where false prophets breed. It is always masked with religion. The other side of the world consists of those who proclaim godliness and yet love the ways of this world. They do not seem cold because they are lukewarm. All who are lukewarm have decided to leave what is right and do what is wrong, beyond the call of the scriptures. They select to fulfill pleasures more than to do God's word. They do not appear to be deadly, but they make people who do not know me stumble, saith the Lord. Those who are obviously corrupt seem more dangerous, but they in truth are not half as deadly. A lukewarm man causes instability and lack among my people. And once the standards of life is lowered, sins increase, and the devil sends evil angels, which are demons, to weaken society and then divide them from the knowledge of God. Once divided, people lose creativity. They lack knowledge and the answers of life and become secure in what kills them. Their judgment collapses, and they become vulnerable to all temptation until they are hardened in pride. Once hardened in their pride, they are reprobate, which is the final stage of backsliding, saith the Lord. Everyone who understands truth and still rejects it, walk in opposition, will fail in life and produce failure, interfering with others who live, saith the Lord. No man can remain in my peace when he chooses worldly choices. Those who reject truth for lying influences yield their peace and have no guidance into truth. False prophets teach and preach lies as truth, and those who know me not can believe them. But my people hear my voice, and they follow my lead only, and not the influence of a stranger. My people are able to detect strangers and recognize hirelings and false prophets. Because the false prophets have no rest and no peace, they branch out seeking assurance by influencing others. They always go for what they believe to be primary positions. Satan drives anyone who will not walk in his God-given peace. Satan drives anyone who will not walk in his God-given peace. He can manipulate anyone who will not walk in my truth, saith the Lord. Satan will not walk in my truth, saith the Lord. Satan seeks to be in control of all primary positions. He is after good strength to destroy it and plant the purposes of his way. He seeks to destroy what lives he can and usurp authority of God in us. He knows men who walk with the Lord will eventually overcome him. They will learn deadly warfare against his ways and will overcome him. Once my people seek to know me, they will learn to overcome Satan and reduce his kingdom considerably. For this reason, Satan fears mankind and attempts to annihilate man from off the earth. Those who are worldly are vulnerable to his deception. Those who are worldly by religious pride are not recognized by mankind to be worldly, but are used by Satan to promote worldly living, beginning with whatever men will allow. The other side of the world, which is religious pride, is just as lifeless as the other more obvious side, but it deceives upon a more advanced level. Only those who love darkness more than light will fall prey to it, but those who know me will follow my lead and thrive in life and preach and teach my truth. The living truth of my word, saith the Lord. Look for them, for they are clothed with my peace, and they preach and teach life, saith the Lord God Almighty. Now, I just read to you a word that the Lord gave me years ago called the other side of the world. That is why people who were in religious pride in the days of Jesus were usually the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They gave Jesus more trouble than anybody else. And they always, they were jealous of Jesus because they could not do miracles. They were angry with him. They did not have the peace of God. They were envious of Jesus because the crowds followed him. And they couldn't draw a crowd like he could. And they couldn't do the miracles that he did. And they wanted Jesus dead. They wanted Jesus dead and out of their way. Because they had, they sought God, and they used God. They were using the ways of God to gain authority over people. And they didn't want to let it go. So when Jesus set the standard of God, they wanted to kill him. Now that means that they really didn't like God either, because Jesus is the Son of God. He came to represent God, and he is God. He became a man for our sake, to live with us and show us the standards of life. And the Lord put us in a position where we have to use our faith. By faith, we can know him. By our faith, we can know him. Without our faith, we cannot know him. So when the Lord when the Lord Jesus came and taught men and did miracles, he had God's approval on his life. And the people that were supposed to be helping people understand God was trying to kill him. It still exists now. This is why people teach against God's word in the name of God. They teach that the Lord stopped giving people the Holy Spirit, that that went out with the apostles, and there's no scriptures for it. They teach that healing went out with the when the apostles died out. God stopped healing, but that's not true. We all know somebody that got healed. We've heard of people who've gotten healed. It's even on TV. Every week, Benny Hinn has a crusade, and they televise it, and you get to see people on your television, people getting healed. The devil would say that is phony, but that's just the devil. He's lying. So when people, but the Lord does things out in the open, not in some corner. And there are churches that believe that God heals, and they're getting healed. I go to a church, I see people getting healed all the time. And good people are dying without that knowledge, because they never went to a church where they saw God's people get healed like that. But they did go to a church that don't teach healing. There is an ungodly influence. Hear me good, folks. There's an ungodly influence, according to what I just read. The other side of the world is much more deadly than going to the club, than being on drugs, than being a drunk. False teaching and false prophecy is worse than going to the club. Speech that's filled with doubt and unbelief against God's word is worse than curse words ever was. Profanity is not as harmless as doubt speech full of doubt and unbelief and negativity. That hurts you more than profanity. Profanity is bad enough, but doubting God's word will get you dead and hinder you from knowing who God is. And that's worse than hearing a bunch of foolish words. The other side of the world is much more deadly. Don't kid yourself. There are some false prophets, they are after the money. They don't care about people. They don't care about your soul. They don't care if you go to heaven or not. To them, it's all a fairy tale. And they preach, they get up in the pulpit and preach God's word as if they really are preachers. And they go to school. They go to seminary. They become teachers. And nobody knows that they're just a devil. Not all preachers. I'm saying this because they exist. Many false prophets are out there. They are tares and they are wheat. God said, let them, he told the angels, let them grow together. See, God is not afraid of Satan's tares because his people love him and they won't fall for tares. Tares exist. And we'll read more about it later. But I'm reading it now because they are the ones who hinder people from believing on God's healing. They hinder people from believing God to heal them. And we're going to talk more about that as we continue these sessions. Now, when people, what are they afraid of? They want control of the people. They know that they can't do miracles. They know that God will not do miracles by their hands. So they have to preach a gospel that will allow them to be in charge. And nobody cares that they can't do miracles. But that God has real preachers that do miracles. Then these false prophets, they teach good people. And if a person don't know and they lack knowledge, they can believe lies. And they can believe a measure of deception. But when they see God move, they will, if they have a good heart, a good and honest heart, they'll stop compromising and they'll start living like Jesus did. In other words, to sum it all up, if you're not doing the things that Jesus did, ask yourself the question, why? You love God. You became a Christian. You trust his ways. Why aren't you doing the things that Jesus did? That's because there is a negative influence against it. And you have to cross some lines to do it. You have to stand toe-to-toe with your adversary sometime in order to do God's will. Even your own family members will speak Satan's words against what you're trying to do. You want to believe God for healing? How many people in your own house will say that, you know, well, maybe God will heal you. Maybe they try to give God a back door. God don't need that back door. God will heal you. And you're just going to have to believe it and find other people to agree with you in prayer. Because you got a right to be healed. Because Jesus himself paid for it. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to bless those who are hungry and want to know his word. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.